If you have your Bibles this morning, would you go with me to Luke chapter 12? Luke chapter 12. This is a special day for many reasons, but look forward to all of the activities today. And I know that everything seems to be constantly changing with every new announcement and every new update. I was traveling yesterday, and traveling has always been arduous, but traveling right now is I just appreciate you folks that have to do it on a daily basis, and you have to fly and interact with so many different folks. I left out of Wisconsin yesterday morning at 4 a.m. in a snowstorm, and I returned here to FBT and this area at I think it was about 55 yesterday, 60 degrees, and the driver that picked me up to take me to my car said, well, it's a nice day here. And I said, yes, it is a nice day here. And my son chimed in and said that they wound up getting 6 or 7 inches. And so I was glad to get out just in time. I have heard when I returned that we might be in for a change this week. And so we probably should enjoy this April weather today and be mindful of what could happen this week. But hopefully everybody will be safe and sound and protected, of course. We're delighted to have two dear friends of ours over here to my left, Missy Harris and Cheryl Gibbs. I probably should announce their names on live stream, but now you've made the World Wide Web, all right? And we're delighted to have them. They're dear friends of ours from Tennessee. Their husbands are not here, but delighted for their service for the Lord there in East Tennessee and all that they do there. We're very thankful for both of them, and they've come in to spend some time with the Spatzes and then with my wife as well, and so glad to have them here with us. If this is your first time with us, we're delighted to have you here at FBT and thankful for your presence, and I trust that we will be a blessing to you as well. This is a special day because this is the final services for the Smith family, and they're here to my left, and Brother Kevin and his dear wife and their two children will be headed for the Ukraine this week. I just said how difficult and arduous it is to fly, and I just came from Wisconsin. They're going to be going to the Ukraine, and so we have much to pray for with them. But we're very thankful for how the Lord has directed in their lives and directed in their path, and thankful that the doors of the country have been opened now where they are able to officially go. And so they will be, Lord willing, boarding a plane this coming Friday, I believe, the 18th, towards the evening hours, and they will be headed to the Ukraine. They have a good bit of transition there, both in their flights and then in country, and so we do want to be in prayer for them. But as a part of their departure from us and going to open this field for our own people, we would like to do a couple of things today. We would like to take up a love offering on their behalf, and the love offering is a little bit different, of course, because we're not passing the offering plate, so you just can't think it to them, all right? We'll have to receive the funds by way of a special gift in the box there in the back. There are envelopes, I believe, at the Welcome Center, or you can just deposit a check, make everything out to FBT, but make sure you put in the memo line that it is specifically for the Smiths and their departure love offering. We want to be a blessing to them. They will incur many expenses in their transition into the Ukraine, and so we want to be a blessing to them through the love offering. But then tonight in the evening service, we'll have a special time of prayer with them and be voting to take them on for monthly support as well. And so be here in the service tonight, and I trust we'll be a blessing to the Smiths. They have a unique opportunity there in that country, and the Lord has provided them uniquely in raising the funds to be able to go, and then I'm excited for what will transition here in the future. We want to pray for them in language school. Miss Natalka is a little bit rusty, and Kevin's got it down, right? Is that right? No, Brother Kevin's got to go to language school. Miss Natalka, I think, has the language down. And so we're excited for them to be in language school, and then after language school, they'll launch, of course, ministry and be looking at future ministry opportunities. But I am very, very excited for this opportunity, and I hope you'll be in prayer for the Smiths. And I'll say more about the ways that you can be a blessing to them. I know we want to in adding them to our missionary family. We want to be in prayer for them and God's protection there as well. Next weekend, we will host the Dekus with us. Josh and Francis are going to be able to spend the weekend with us. We look forward to having them in, and God is opening some unique doors for them in Fiji, and so they are looking at opportunities to be able to get into the country, and much like the Smith family with having a Ukrainian citizen, Josh is actually a citizen of Fiji, and where others have had to come off the field and then stay off the field, he has a unique opportunity to get back in because he's a Fijian. So I talked to him yesterday, and so they're going to spend next weekend with us. Look forward to having them, and just excited what the Lord is doing through our entire missionary family, but specifically those that are directly out of FBT. Luke chapter 12 this morning, we're in the midst of this passage here and the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ as it related to all of the blessings that God has given to us. Keep in mind that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father above. So it is not as though I am the individual that has created all of my wealth. In fact, it all comes from God himself. And every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from the Father. So all of my time, all of my talents, all of my treasure are from his generosity to me. And I want to look at the opening verse here. I probably should have taken time to just preach a message from this verse because of how much is stated in this one verse. But I wanted to cover a little bit more ground. And by the way, next Sunday will be our Christmas Sunday. And so I'll have a Christmas message in the morning. And then in the evening service, we have a special opportunity to have a COVID communion. You say, what is COVID communion? Well, you got to be back next Sunday night. We'll participate in a COVID communion. And we also have the young people that will be doing a number of different specials for us as well, as they've been working on that in Children's Church. And so the candlelight service as well next Sunday night. So a lot going on next Sunday with our Christmas Sunday. But we've been in the middle of this passage and this lengthy message from the Lord Jesus Christ on what we do with all of our stuff. So God has entrusted to us things, time, talent, and treasure. We're going to hone in on those three things this morning. I do want you to draw specific attention to verse number 32. We'll pick up our reading here, and this is the verse that I think I could have preached a whole message from, because the three points are laid out so easily for us. But if you're in the habit of taking notes, I'd highlight this verse and spend some time just meditating upon it in the coming week. And if you're in the habit of underlining verses, this is a great verse to underline. Luke chapter 12, look at verse number 32. Fear not, little flock. Remember, believer, that we will always be part of a remnant. It is a narrow way. It is always going to be a narrow way. And I know that there are individuals that have always dreamed of a moral majority. But I'm just telling you right now, there will never be a majority of believers either in our country or in the world. And so the Lord looks at these individuals that are staring back at him and he says, fear not, little flock. Well, why does he start the passage out that way? Well, he's just told them that the world's mindset is the eyes and the minds of all of their stuff. And so he says, this is the pattern that the world has chosen. The world has said, I will, and I have, and I will bestow, and all these eyes and all these mys. And he comes to them and says, take therefore no thought. Well, the very first thing that's going to creep into the human mind is fear. Wait a minute, Lord. If I'm not going to take care of my things and my barns and my food and my future, if I'm not taking care of it and I'm supposed to entrust it all to you, as you said, take therefore no thought. Boy, there is a great, great deal of fear that will seek to creep into the mindset of every single believer. And our human nature floods forward. My mother-in-law's pregnancy center up in Pennsylvania produced shirts, and my wife has one. I think my sister-in-law has one. My other sister-in-law probably has one. On occasions, they even wear them on the same day unknowingly. But it is a shirt, and it says faith, and then a line, and the word fear, faith over fear. And the mindset really for the believer has to be, this is the way that the world is directed with all their stuff, but this is the way that I want you directed. I want you to trust the God that knows the real value of life. I want you to trust the God that can supply for even the most insignificant animals in creation. And he says, I want you to trust God because he is the one that can ultimately provide so much beyond your imagination and comprehension. I want you to trust God. And all of that is in the previous passages, and we've looked at them in previous Sundays. So naturally, he turns to them, and naturally, from a human perspective, their response is going to be, I don't know if I can do it. And so he looks right at them and says, fear not, little flock. Now, this is the same flock that's going to go on in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 6, where the Bible says that they turned the world upside down. So we don't have to be in the majority in numbers to turn the world upside down, because I'm telling you, if we're on God's side, we're in the majority. And that's the bottom line. But he says, fear not, little flock. Then look at the next phrase. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give. Man, that is a statement that we should underline 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 times. Did you see it there? The Bible says there in verse number 32, this is why I can preach a whole message on it. You see it? 3 simple points, man, this is great. And they're almost, according to John Phillips, alliterated themselves. Little flock, and our Father is going to give. The Bible says here, your Father's good pleasure to give. The Heavenly Father desires to give to you and to me. The question is this morning, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life where you've repented of your sin? Sin is anything that I say, do, or think that displeases Almighty God. Has there ever been a time that you've come to the cross of Calvary with that massive burden of the penalty of your sin, and you've come to the cross of Calvary and the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have said, Lord, I'm leaving it here at Calvary. And therefore, you do not face the penalty of sin. You no longer face the power of sin. And one day you'll be delivered from the presence of sin. If there's any man, woman, or child this morning that does not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are still carrying the weight of your sin, then today's the day to come to Calvary and be saved. Because it is the Father's good pleasure to give. The very first thing he gave was his only begotten Son. And then there is so much more beyond that. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You and I might be fretting as to who's going to be in control on January the 20th and who's going to direct things in our nation, but I've got news for you. There's ultimately going to be one that's going to be on the throne, and his name is Jesus. And by the way, he won't be determined by any electors. He won't be determined by any ballot. He won't be determined by any sway of the political system or the court system or anything like that. He's going to take his rightful place because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so for you and for me, Dad is going to send his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, back to call us home. And then one day we'll return to this earth triumphantly as the Lord Jesus Christ establishes his millennial reign. So again, a great verse. Could we spend all day there? Yes, we could. Fear not, little flock. The words that have just been shared are cause for fear. Let's be honest. If I don't take care of my stuff, who's going to take care of it? Well, I'm to leave it to the Heavenly Father because He knows the real value of life. He's the one that desires to give. And ultimately, He's in control of the kingdom. Well, let's read the rest of our passage this morning. And it really goes to the time, talent, and treasure that we've been speaking of in the previous verses. But it hones in more specifically on them. Look what the Bible says in verse number 33. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, that they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Now take your Bibles, hold your finger here, or a bookmark or something, and turn back with me to Matthew chapter number 25. Matthew chapter 25. I was asked about this passage the other day, and I know that the Bible specifically refers to the nature of talents in the passage that is given here. And this is a parable that is given towards the latter end. In fact, in chapter 26, we move right into the garden, and then we move into the crucifixion in chapter 27. So we're right on the cusp of all that's going to happen in the time frame of the Lord's crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. But he shares this parable about the nature of his departure and what he wants us to be doing in his absence. Matthew chapter 25, look what the Bible says in verse number 14, a familiar passage, but look at this again with me. The Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country." So that's the Lord Jesus Christ. After his ascension there on the Mount of Olives, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is taken up from them. He's as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants. That's you and me. He's called us together. He had that initial flock with him there. And he looks down at Peter and James and John, and he looks at Matthew and all these different disciples, and then those others that are gathered there. And he looks at them and says, "I'm going to travel into a far country." And he called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. "And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them." Again, there's no date. There's no return flight that's mentioned. He could come at any time. He could come at any hour. The Bible says, "So he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.' The next one comes forward, and as we know the story, he has 2 talents, and he accrued to himself an additional 2 talents. And then the story comes out with the one that had 1 talent. And he said, 'Listen, I was nervous. I feared you. And so I went and I digged a hole and I put the talent in there, and I'm just returning it to you now. I didn't lose anything, but I didn't gain anything.' And the Lord, as he returns, is disappointed. Why? Because he was entrusted with things that should have produced something to show for the investment. And this is true for every one of us. And that's why I read the passage and want us to kind of join these two things together, because right now our Lord is away. But our Lord is coming back again. And when the Lord returns, he is going to come to us and say, what have you done with what I entrusted to you? Now, no doubt there are some here in the auditorium that will say, I took my 5 talents and I've built 5 more talents and I'm returning 10. There will be some that say, I had 2 and I've developed a 2 and I'm returning 4. And it's a tragedy, but it's true that there are some that will say, I went and hid mine. I went and hid it. Well, let's go back to Luke chapter 12 and let's see how this plays out then. If I'm going to invest wisely and I'm going to invest for eternity, we again, we're addressing these 3 things, treasure, time, and talent. How do I demonstrate that I'm living in faith and not in fear? He says to them here, based upon the parable of the covetousness of the farmer, based upon the things that we know about Almighty God, he says, listen, you're going to be entrusted with things. I'm going to go away, and I'm leaving you with some things that I want invested. But I'm going to return in an hour in which ye think not. And when I return, I trust that there will be some additional portions of my investment. And so I ask each and every one of us, how are we investing for eternity? Let's just go down through this quickly this morning and look at the different aspects of it. The first area of investment is that of our treasure. Oh, here we go. Preacher's going to talk about money again. I'm not talking about money. The Lord is talking about money. So let's listen to what the Lord says about money. Verses 32 to 34. This is what he says about our treasure. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So you have been entrusted with a certain level of treasure. Now, I dare say that not one family that's gathered here in the auditorium this morning has the identical amount of treasure. I dare say that if we went around and we said, okay, who has X amount of dollars in the bank account? I doubt very seriously that we'd go through all of your assets and all of your offsets and someone would come out with the exact same amount of money. I doubt that. All of us have differing levels of treasure. But the fact of the matter is that we all have treasure. And we're all supposed to be faithful with that treasure. Well, how does our treasure show itself? Well, the Word of God details the nature of addressing our treasure. The Bible says, first of all, that I'm to be faithful in my tithes and offerings. Malachi chapter 3 and verses 8 through 10, the Bible says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. So if God, through my employer, entrusts me with $100, and I am not at the very minimum putting $10 in the offering plate when it's passed by on a given Sunday, I am not faithful to Almighty God, and I'm actually robbing God. What? Man, that sounds really harsh, Pastor. That sounds really tough. I'm not saying it. God said it. The fact of the matter is that all of us are entrusted with something. You say, Pastor, I have absolutely nothing. Well, then how did you get here? How do you have clothes that you're wearing? What about the roof over your house? You see, we all have something. And the Bible says right at the outset, if we're not faithful in the least of things, the smallest of things, i.e. the funding, then we're not going to be faithful in anything that's much bigger. I mean, I have people that would say, Pastor, you know me. If I ever win the lottery, church is going to get 10% of it. I got news for you. Church is never going to get 10% of your lottery winnings if you weren't faithful with $100 that your employer was giving you on a weekly basis. It's not going to happen. And then on the other side of it, if you were faithful with the $10 out of the $100 that your employer was giving you, you're probably not playing the lottery. Because you're a wise steward of all that God allows to pass through your hands. Well, Pastor, would you take the money? If someone won the lottery, if they won the Powerball, they won $1 billion, would you take the money? It's not mine to take. It's whatever God wants to do with it, I suppose. But I'm just telling you right now, if you're waiting on some kind of a windfall to begin to be faithful with God, it will never happen. Long time ago, 20 years ago to be exact, my wife and I hit on the concept from Dave Ramsey on commissions instead of allowance. And we really, really like that sound. And so we established with our boys that they were not going to get allowance in our home, that they were going to get commissions. Commissions are something that you earn because you had to do something to earn them. So the boys had to take care of their room. They had to take care of different things around the house. And at the end of the week, when I was paid, I would give them commissions. Now, they were some pretty hefty commissions. $1 a week. Whew. That's where we started. And I really wanted to invest in our sons and help them to be wise in their giving. And so I, as the employer and overseer of the commissions, forced the boys, because it was a benevolent dictatorship, to give 50% of their commissions to the Lord. And so from the outset, the boys would get $1 or $2, I guess it was. We probably started with $2, so they had to break the dollar. But they had to put $1 in the offering plate, and then they could put $1 in their wallet. They had to give 50%. Now, I understand that the boys will probably not continue that for the rest of their lives and give away 50%, but what was my point? I wanted them to learn early on, hey, we're going to be faithful with our giving. And no matter what God brings into our path, no matter what God affords to come into our wallet, if we work and we're blessed and we have something come in, then the first thing that we're going to do is honor God with it. Look, you are not cheating God and the church by not tithing. Why? Can I say it this way? You're cheating yourself. Because the best thing you can do is partner with an almighty God and get involved in his investment program. And his investment program is the local New Testament church. Well, there's some things that are being done at the church that I just don't agree with. You know, I pastor the church and there's some things that are done at the church that I don't agree with. See, I don't make decisions for one person. I make decisions for multiple entities. And by the way, folks, it's not my money. Well, Pastor, we pay your salary, and we better hear you say and do what we want you to do because we pay your salary. No, you don't. God does. You see, it's not my money. It's not your money. It's the Lord's money. If you think you pay my salary, the best thing you can do is stop giving because you're not giving cheerfully. You're giving out of the forced hand. Well, that church bought a Ford van. I'm a Chevy man. And I'll never support a church that buys a Chevy or a Ford. Folks, come on. There are churches that literally split over the color of the carpet. By God's grace, can everyone please give me a hearty amen? Lord willing, we're going to redo all the bathrooms at this church in the coming year. I'm not putting a timetable on it because we have COVID, but I pray to God that we can get all the bathrooms remodeled here. You say, do they really need to be done, Pastor? Yes. Okay, they've suffered loss. Well, what if we remodel the bathrooms and it's not your favorite floral color? Well, I'll show them. I'm just going to stop giving. Okay, if that's the way you think you should go, okay. But I'm telling you, folks, you're not going to wind up hurting God's wallet. You're not going to hurt the church's wallet per se. You're not going to hurt the pastor's wallet. You're hurting yourself. Why? Because God's the one who has the directive. Let's go on. It just gets better. Missions giving. Do you know why I love to hear from the missionaries that come here on Wednesday nights and that come here throughout the year and the missionaries that we'll have now go to the Ukraine? You know why I want to hear how they're doing and why I have special interest in how they're doing? Because I plan to participate in the love offering today for the Smiths. And when I participate in that love offering and I give hard-earned money to them, I'm praying that God will do great things in the Ukraine. And now I'm far more interested in what happens in the Ukraine whenever the announcements go across the airwaves. But if I have no money in it, I don't care about it. If I have no money invested in missions, I don't really care if we have missionaries or not. I don't care what's happening in that nation and that nation and that nation and that nation. I don't care if anyone gets the gospel or not. But boy, I tell you what, if I have $5 invested in it, boy, I care. I'm going to sit up straight. I want to hear what the missionary has to say because I've been praying for that missionary. I've been participating in that missionary's work. Well, I'll show them, and I've had this said to me before, well, I don't agree with all the missionaries that we've taken on for support, so I'm just going to support one missionary with my funding. Well, folks, what happens when that one missionary comes off the field? It's why we diversify our investments. Now, we have quite a diversified investment portfolio here. We have a great number out of our own church. We have a great number that we assist in their support, but it is a worldwide portfolio. And so it might not be happening in this nation right now, but it's really happening over here. It might not be happening here, but it's happening here. It may not be there, but it's here. And I'm telling you what, with a diversified portfolio of missions investment, whenever one of them comes in, praise God, he's still at work around the globe. We've not had a normal missions conference for now some time. Some of you may have filled out a missionary faith promise commitment card. You thought, well, I committed for my year and it's done. I've got my commitment card right here in my Bible. Let me just, I can flip, it's right. It's right here. Yep. Here it is. Faith Promise Missions 2019 commitment. Well, filled that in 2019 so I can stop giving until they have another one of those times. No. I'm still seeking to abide by it, and I'll trust that the Lord will let us have one. Oh, Lord, please don't let this thing last through April of next year. I can't take this. But I want to be faithful to the Lord in missions. But maybe it's not. Your issue's not tithes and offerings. Your issue's not missions giving. But maybe it's, Pastor, I just have a real burden for assorted projects. You know, that's what we want to do. We want to look for additional ways. Can I just give a shout out for all of our young adults that participated yesterday in giving out the different Share the Love of Christ boxes or Share the Love of Jesus boxes? Can I give a shout out to all of the people in our congregation that was that were willing to take a box home with them, fill it with stuff, and then bring it back in? You gave of your time, your talent, your treasure, so that someone you don't know could receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every box had a bilingual letter in it. Every box had a track in it or a book in it that told the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every box contained the desire to give out the truth of the gospel because it's not just about meeting the physical need, it's about meeting the spiritual need. So, Pastor, I don't have a ton of funding that I can just roll in and pour into the coffers of the ministry. You and I might not have that. But I tell you what, my wife could tell me, but she went, filled the box at the grocery store, and brought it back in, and okay, maybe I'll suffer the loss of a couple of Mountain Dews this week. Probably should suffer that loss anyway. But it's the right thing to do because if the gospel's going out, I want to be a participant. Do you know who wants to know about the return on those boxes right now? Everyone that participated in filling one of those boxes. Young adults will be far more encouraged when they get a letter back, a letter of thank you that says, you all met a need that was greater than you can imagine, and by God's goodness, you brought this kind of joy to our household. We've got another project that will come up here in January and February, our baby bottle campaign, and helping the local pregnancy center. You know, it does not take that much effort to be able to pick up a plastic bottle, unscrew the lid, fill it with change, and turn it back in. Whoo, that's exhausting, Pastor. But you know, it makes a great deal of difference in the lives of all kinds of children. In a few weeks, we'll have someone that will be here to testify as to how many babies' lives were saved as a result of the pregnancy centers that are here in Manassas and Woodbridge. But beyond that, folks, they'll also testify of how many people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? That's not some kind of huge, large, you know, just investment of treasure. It's just that I want to be involved. Can I give you one more? There's always unexpected opportunities. In Luke chapter 10, verses 33 and 34, the Bible says that a man comes by another man who is the victim of a robbery. And this man comes by, the victim of the robbery, and the Bible says he goes over to him, he takes of his goods, he ministers to him, he picks up that man, puts him on his animal, carries him to an inn where he can be further cared for and healed up, and he does all of those things for the sake of a complete stranger. Now, I would say to you this morning that the only reason he would do that for that complete stranger is because he had a mindset to minister. And it wasn't that he came alongside of that man and all of a sudden said, you know what, I've got extra time, I've got nothing to do, I'm just on my way, and it's no big deal, I'll inconvenience myself for a little bit of time. No, I believe that the Good Samaritan was already living a life that was a life of giving. And so when he came across this kind of specific need, it was totally within him to do what he did for that man. And it didn't matter how great the need was. You and I are going to be presented with unexpected opportunities. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 3, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. You know what, folks? I've got five coats. Or six coats. Do you understand the proverbial statement? And yet I find myself hoarding. Boy, I had to look for ways to be a giving person because God loves a cheerful giver. And instead of holding the stuff so tightly, but that's my favorite. Say, look, God is so far above and beyond blessed me that I just want to look for ways to be a blessing to someone else. There's our treasure. Let's go on to our time, investing our time, verses 35 and 36. The Bible says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. This is a wise use of time. Ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. They're not like the teenager when the dad said, I want the lawn mowed before I get home, and 15 minutes before the dad gets home, he starts mowing the grass. No, this is a group of individuals that are using their time wisely. The Bible says, ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, and when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, that they may open unto him immediately. The only reason they're willing and ready for that door to be opened is because they've used their time wisely. If they've not used their time wisely, they're going to delay the opening. Oh, keep the door shut. Don't let him in. You ever have that happen? It's happened. It's probably happened to you. You've got guests coming over. There's a few last second things that have to be done. Don't answer the door yet. You know what this is like? This is a group of individuals that when their Lord departed from them and said, boys, I'm going to be gone for a while. I want you to be busy about my work. They're ready. They're waiting. Everything's wrapped up. They've got the list checked off because they've used their time wisely. You know, the Bible tells us there in the New Testament, redeeming the time for the days are evil. I'm making wise choices with the use of my time. Now, we might have differing levels of treasure. We might have differing levels of talent. But if you still have breath in your soul, then you and I have the same level of time. We have the same amount of minutes in an hour. We have the same amount of hours in a day. We have the same number of days in a week and the same number of days in a year. The Lord is departed, but how are you using your time? Boy, this is an area in which I think we could all agree that we could, if we took stock, find many ways in which we've wasted time. And it's time that we'll never get back. If you were to take a calendar and you were to catalog your previous year, what would the return on the investment of your time really look like? Say, well, I don't have time to be out with this child and this son or daughter. I'm just too busy and I don't have time to be involved with the family on this thing. You know, the truth of the matter is that I believe if we look back, we really took stock, we'd realize that we wasted a lot of time. I don't know how much time that the Lord has given to me. You don't know how much time that God will ultimately give to you. But I wonder if you're finishing up details so that the moment the Lord returns, you're ready to open the door and go with him. Your time, your treasure. Then let's look at the last one, verses 37 to 38. And I find this is interesting. Investing your talents. We ought to invest our treasure. Where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. We ought to invest our time in such a way that we are prepared for the Lord's return and ready to open the door when he does return. But look at verses 37 and 38. Here's our talents. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Look at what he does for them in return. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, the Lord will gird himself and make them, the servants, to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. These are individuals that have used their talents for the Lord. They are ready for his return. And look at how the Lord responds to them. Look at what he says in Matthew chapter 25. He says in Matthew chapter 25, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Here in this passage, the Lord says, you all have been faithful with the talents that I've given you. You finished all your tasks. Now let me serve you. What? This is so foreign in our thinking that it would ever come about this way. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, listen, this is what is there for those that have used their talents wisely. Some of you have out front talents. You have out front talents. I'm thankful for the four that sang this morning. I'm thankful for their out front talent. And they've developed that talent. They've prepared that talent. And they minister to us. It's an out front talent. But there are many of you that don't have the out front talent, but you have a behind the scene talent. And you think to yourself, because I don't have the out front talent, I don't have to do anything behind the scenes with my talent. And I'm saying to you this morning that the Lord has given all talents for his honor and glory. And I might not have the out front talent, but I have the behind the scenes talent. So let me ask you this question. What is more important here in the ministry of FBT? What is more important? Keeping the trash cans cleaned out and cleaned up, or preaching the message of Jesus Christ on a Sunday morning? Well, if our staff and faculty just said, I don't care about the trash, I'll let somebody else do that, what would the building look like? Huh? I mean, with the nature of changes in the school and everything like this, the kids are eating in their own classrooms and cutting down on interactions with the other classes and everything like this. But imagine that a teacher just says, you know what? I don't really care how much chocolate milk is on the wall. Not my job. And then that Sunday, visitors come in and take their kids to children's church, and it's chocolate milk all the way down the wall. Come on in. We want your kid to have a great time in children's church. What do you mean you don't want to leave your kids with us? I mean, we're healthy. We're clean. Chocolate milk all the way down the wall, you know. I think it's very possible they'd be like, the kids will stay with us today. And then would never see them again, no matter what I said in the message. But as long as we have this mindset that the only thing that matters is what's on the stage and that it's the important thing and everything else is just, well, meaningless. Well, I tell you what, we're of all people most miserable. It's as important for me to pick up the little piece of trash walking into the building as it is for me to give the plan of salvation. Why? Because those kinds of things could be the very deterrent from someone actually hearing the good news of the Savior and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you have abilities that are kind of the behind the scenes. The number one fear of mankind is public speaking. Can you believe that? I'm amazed by that. I'm like, this is a piece of cake. I mean, this is no big deal at all. But I mean, there's some point number one. You know, if I said to you, you're going to preach the message this Sunday, I mean, you'd eat your tie and everything like that. This is easy. In the sense that I love to public speak. But you know what? God didn't give you the talents that he gave to me. You say, well, Pastor, your talent isn't that great. Okay, all right, I understand. But I'm just saying to you, will you use whatever talents that God has blessed you with? Because it's as significant. It's important. It's wise. Because the master's going to return and he's going to recognize people because they have been faithful with their talents and they've accrued to themselves from that investment additional things. And when the Lord returns, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We close the message this morning with the last two verses of the passage, verses 39 and 40, which look there with me and I'm done. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. You know, one of the things that I used to love growing up here in the area and having a paper route, I used to love to go to collect. Now, I have no idea what the Washington Post costs now. But I think when I was delivering the papers in my last years of delivering the newspapers, I think it was $9.60 a week. And that was for all 7 days. I have no idea what it is now. But I think it was like $9.20 or $9.60 a week in receiving the Washington Post at your door. One of the things that I loved to do was I loved to go out and collect, and after a full day of collecting, I'd come back and I'd take all the bills and I'd direct them uniformly. So ones, fives, tens, twenties, and I'd put them all going the same way, the right direction. I love how Chick-fil-A has brought back the change machine. You see the change machine at Chick-fil-A nowadays? You see, that was an antiquated way for us as paper boys. Oh, I've got change. Man, that was an old-time paper boy thing. Man, I love to see that. Brings back so many great memories. Want to see those quarters in line. Want to see the dimes in line. Want to see everything just in line. I want to take the checks because many people would write us a check. In those days, we had these pieces of paper that used to tell people that you were good for it and you'd give them a check, all right? And I'd uniformly direct all the checks and I'd put it all together in a nice stack and everything like this. And then I was prepared to pay my distributor because he was coming at some point in the month to collect up the amount that I owed him for the papers that I received and was then able to give out. I didn't always know the time that they were going to come. Our distributor was named Mr. Hansen. Now, that is not the Mr. Hansen that was the principal of our academy. Mr. Hansen and his wife were dear, dear people. But he'd come and he'd knock on our door. And at the time, my brother had a route, I had a route. And he'd knock on the door and say, "Hey, it's Mr. Hansen, just here to collect." Now, our bill was much larger, but it was so fun when it was all ready to go because everything was in a line. And you know what? I envision the same thing to be true with the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not know the hour or the day that the Lord is going to return, but I surely want him to come back and to find that all of my treasures in line and in order. I surely want him to come back and to find that I've used my time wisely and that it's all in line and in order. I want to be there at the door ready to open it because everything's in order and ready to go. I surely want him to come back and take survey of my talents and to say, "Yes, yes, it's ready to go." I don't want to be like this guy who's unprepared for the theft that will come. You see, if he knew the hour and the day, he would have made provision. My friend, the Son of Man is coming back. And he's looking at you and me and he's saying, "I've been on a long journey and I've left you a treasure and I've left you a time and I've left you a talents and you can choose to go and bury them." And people in the Ukraine may not hear the gospel. And people in Fiji may not hear the gospel. And people in Japan may not hear the gospel. Oh, you can bury it, but you're going to be standing at the door just like this, not wanting the Lord to come in because you'll be unprepared. I would much, 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 much rather have my diversified portfolio invested in all different kinds of ways. Hey, what's the news on the baby bottle campaign? How much did we raise? How many trusted Christ as their Savior? How many babies' lives were saved? Hey, I've got an investment there. I want to hear about it. Hey, did the Smiths make it to the Ukraine? Are they setting up shop? How's language school going? Are they doing well? I mean, what's happening there? How long will it be before they start this or that? Hey, I want to hear. You see, this is the determination that you have to make with what you're going to do with all of your time, your talent, and your treasure. And by the way, the story in Matthew chapter 25 is very much a real story for the nature of how you and I are in the world today. Some will take the Lord's word and they'll abide by what he has said and they'll invest. And when he returns, they're going to say, "Lord, look at how these investments returned." And then there will be some, the judgment seat of Christ, who will bow their heads and they'll say, "I'm sorry, I didn't do anything." And everything that they have will be burned up as wood, hay, and stubble. And again, I'm not asking for everybody here in the auditorium today to walk out of here and write a check to FBT for $10,000. Yeah, that'd be the greatest offering we've ever had in our lives. That's not what I'm talking about. I am asking everyone here in the auditorium to go home and with their time, talent, and treasure book to take stock of what God has entrusted to you. And my friend, how are you investing it today? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to preach from this passage this morning. Thank you for the privilege that I have to stand before these folks and to proclaim. The greatest investment program that's ever been designed and created. You, the God of the universe, the one who spoke the worlds into existence, the one that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the one who cares for the least of the bird kingdom, the one who has the very hairs of our heads numbered, you, the God of this universe, have said to us, take all of your things and invest them with my things in my program. And let's see what will be accomplished. Now, in order to do this, we must live lives of faith over fear. Because fear will drive us to hoard. Oh, if I give this away, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my barns? What's going to happen to my fruits? What's going to happen to my harvest? You've said to us this morning, fear not, little flock. For I, as your father, give. I pray that FBT will be known as a church that lives by faith over fear. And perhaps you'd touch a heart this morning, and perhaps they've never participated in giving in their tithes and offerings, or they've never participated and actually trusted you in their area of missions giving or looking for other areas in which they can give, Lord. Would you touch their heart today and help them to see that wherever their treasure is, their heart is going to follow. Lord, would you help us to be good stewards of our time? Would you help us to be good stewards of our talents? I pray that we'd use those upfront talents for your honor and glory, and I pray that we'd use the behind-the-scenes talents for your honor and glory. Knowing that none of us works and labors as a servant for men's applause, but we do our very best that we might be found good servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not men pleasers, but we ought to be God pleasers. And so I pray that the message would find fertile ground this morning. And I pray that everyone would know this is not for the ministry's benefit. This is for each of us personally. You've challenged us to give cheerfully and to give bountifully, to give our own selves first. And boy, I tell you what, the rewards are just beyond anything that we could ask or think. And above all, we'll be prepared when the Lord returns. I'm just standing here thinking to my own self and my own life. I've had several investments in my lifetime that did not pay out from what I thought they would do in man's perspective. But as I stand here today, and I think back to whatever funding has been given to the Lord's work, from my wife and I or from our home, I look back and I say, you know what, I have no regrets about any investment that I made for the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you take the passage this morning and use it as you see fit in each heart and life? In Jesus' name I pray.